Okay. Well, welcome. Thank you. Sorry. Welcome back to our study of numbers. I was in my own little world here. We are in the middle of chapter 4 of Numbers. And before we pick up with verse 31, just to remind you what we've been talking about, the Lord had given a commandment to Moses that he needed to take a sum of the sons of Kohath, and then also to do the same with the Gershonites and the Merarites. And we have been learning about the different job descriptions of each of these families. If you remember, we read about the Kohathites who were to carry the holy things. And we've read about the Gershonites, and their assignment from God himself was that they were in charge of carrying the curtains of the tabernacle. And now we're going to pick up, we've read a few verses about the Merarites, and we've learned that they are responsible for the framework of the tabernacle, the boards and the bars and the pillars. And we also learned that Ithamar, Aaron's son, was in charge of overseeing the Merarites. So, with that said, let's take a look at verse 31 together. And this is the charge of their burden, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And their charge, we're talking about the Merarites. The boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and with all their service, and by name ye shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden.
And so this is the job description for the Merarites. They carrying the boards of the tabernacle. If you remember, these boards, like, are 15 feet high, 27 inches wide. So we're not talking about just some menial little things. These guys were not wimpy, you understand. They had a pretty major task in breaking these things down, setting them up, setting them in the sockets, putting everything together, and getting that framework solid so they can hang the curtains. And so these Merarites were responsible for all that. That was their job description, you understand. It's not, Gershonites didn't help them, the Kohathites didn't help them, and certainly no one outside the tribe of Levi. This was their job, just like the Gershonites' job was the hangings, the curtains. Every person stayed in their assignment. And if people would learn that, see, to me, there's a principle that's pointing into the New Testament, with gifts and abilities. God sets in the body as it pleases him, not them. And so we have to learn our position in the body and stay there. And don't try to control the body from your position. The head controls the body, and the head's Jesus Christ, okay? And so if God has made you a hand, be a hand. If he's made you a foot, be a foot. If he's made you a mouth, be a mouth. But the foot's not to be the mouth. And this is where you have so many violations in local churches, people operating out of position, out of their God-ordained position or God-ordained purpose. And when you do that, I call it a dislocated member. And if you dislocate a member of your physical body, it creates pain for the entire body. Mm-hmm. Well, when you have a dislocated member in the body of Christ, then it creates discomfort, pain for the entire body of Christ. And so it's not that one's more important than the other. Every member of our body is important. It's just the fact of learning your function and fulfill your function. And let somebody else know their function, fulfill their function. and don't concern yourself with it. And God has not called us to police the world. And so we have to learn that, as Mama used to say, you clean out your own backyard before you do your neighbor's. And if you'll focus on your backyard, you won't have time to focus on the neighbor's. And that's what we need to do, is learn what our assignment is and stay with that assignment and let everybody else do what they're supposed to do. And then God's the one that can set the record straight if somebody's not doing their job right. You understand? But it's amazing how many critics that you have, and critiquing is not a gift, and suspicion's not a gift. And so we need to stay out of those arenas and do what God has assigned us to do. There is, you think about this, the structure, the framework, is extremely important because it's supporting. And without the proper support, without that being put together properly to give it the support, then you're going to have major problems. And so you just have to learn what your ministry is. And I know early on, the Lord let me know specifically that my ministry was foundation, not building houses. And so you can look at this guy, you know, boy, he's been in this thing 2 years and he's running 1,000 people, and you've been in it 20 years and you're running 50 people or whatever, you know, what's the deal? And when the Lord spoke to me specifically, he said, I didn't call you to build a house. I called you to lay a foundation. And so from that time forward, I've been content in what my function is. I don't concern myself with what other people are doing. I concern myself with getting a foundation properly laid in people's lives, and that foundation being the Word of God. You got to get, people must build on the Word, not on tradition, not on opinions, not on religious beliefs and all this type stuff. And so my mandate is to encourage people to get into the Word and build on the Word of God. And I think of what Paul said, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. You beware how you build on it. Everything has to line up to the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is that foundation. Everything has to be in agreement with Him. Okay? And so regardless of what our function is, it's all going to go back to Jesus. Whether it's foundation, whether it's building a house, it all has to be in an agreement with the Word of God.
That's good. Verse 33. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest.
Now, I want you to note this, that the Merarites are obviously descendants of Levi, right? Just like the Kohathites and the Gershonites. But it wasn't a Merarite that was overseeing the Merarites. It was a priest. You follow that? To me, there's significance to that. There's fivefold ministry gifts. And fivefold ministry gifts are what I would call equipping ministry. They're to mature the saints, to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:11, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Okay? And so it's not that the Merarites said, well, we'll select who we want or we'll vote on who we want to as the overseer. God appointed the priest Ithamar to be over the Merarites. He appointed and the Gershonites, and he appointed Eleazar to be over the Kohathites. over the holy things, you understand? And so they don't need to concern themselves with telling Ithamar how this is supposed to happen or that's supposed to happen. Ithamar has the oversight to see that they do it properly. Mm-hmm. Now, what's proper? In God's way. Not your way. God's way. And we have to learn that. And I don't know, people seem to be slow learners. They don't want to do it God's way. And that's why we have a lot of the problems that we have, because we're violating the Word of God. It's amazing how many people think they have a better idea than God. Or how many people think that they can think for God. We can get the mind of God, but we can't think for God. We can follow the thoughts of God, and that's what He expects us to do.
Good. This is going to be a test question. Who was the overseer of the Gershonites and the Merarites? Y'all remember? Ithamar. All right, verse.
It's real easy. Aaron only had two sons.
Yeah.
Okay.
34. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites after their families and after the house of their families, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old. Everyone that entereth into the service for the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And those that were numbered of them by their families were 2,750. These were they that were numbered of the families of the Kohathites, all that might do service in their tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
So Aaron and leaders of the congregation numbered the Kohathites, or I could say they took a census of the Kohathites from a month old. And then they got their number, and from the duties, they had to be 30 years old to 50. And so when they do this census, they're numbering the people from 30 to 50 who can actually perform the duties regarding the tabernacle. And so there's 2,750 who were eligible to handle these holy things. And you understand, they were to carry the holy things. They couldn't look at them. They couldn't touch them. But their obligation was when the camp broke, then they carry them, and they carry them until the camp set up. They deliver them into the care of Eleazar, and then Aaron and his sons are the only one that can look at the holy things. And I think there's some profoundness in that as well. God has certain people designed to look into the holy things to minister to the Lord. Other people can assist, but they're not to touch. They're not to delve into that. And this is something else needs to be learned in this day and age.
And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entereth into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the
here
congregation.
Here again, the census is dealing with the mature ones. When they numbered the Levites, they numbered them from a month old. But when they assigned the duties, they numbered them from 30 years old to 50 years old, the ones who could actually perform the duties. Now, here again, you think about the job of the Gershonites, dealt with the curtains, the hangings, all this. So this is not something for a kid to do. You with me? This is something for somebody who has matured to the point that they respect the things of God. That tabernacle was of God, you understand? Whether it's the hangings, whether it's the framework, whatever, that's God's. And so you have to have someone who respects it, number one, and knows how to handle it and can follow instructions and is strong enough to get the job done. Okay?
Okay. Good. Even those that were numbered of them throughout their families by the house of their fathers were 2,630.
And here the same things applies for the Moraites. It's from 30 to 50. In other words, they're going to do 20 years of service. That's their prime, the prime of their life in maturity and strength. Okay? And they have heavy work to do. And here again, we're talking about dealing with the things of God, so you need to be mature. When you're dealing with the things of God, remember, the scriptures say you didn't put a novice in that leadership position. Okay? What's a novice? It's someone that's not mature. And so he's using mature people when it comes to handling the things of God, from the building, the structure, to the holy things.
Let's tell them the number of the Moraites. Y'all look at the verse 44. Even those that were numbered of them after their families were 3,200. These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now
when you get this, number from 30 to 50 years old, of the Levites to perform the duty, like 8,580, it doesn't mean that they're all doing the same thing at the same time. It's not like you have 8,000 people out there taking down the tabernacle or setting up a tabernacle. They had their duties. And if you've ever been in the military, you have sectional duties to where it may be that you have duty every third day or every fourth day. The priest, you'll find through the scriptures, just like when you're looking at John the Baptist, Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad. It says it was his course, it was his time to fulfill his duty when the angel appeared to him. And then once he's fulfilled his duty, he goes back home and takes care of business, and then when his time comes around again, then he's back ministering before the Lord. And so it takes a lot of people to get the job done, and that way the burden's not on just one group, one segment. Sadly, in modern day church, it's a very few, it is an extreme minority that bears the burden of a modern day church. So we need to learn some things.
I got behind you.
Excuse me?
I got behind you. Let me catch up to you.
You behind me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you better catch up.
I know. That verse 48 is where you find the number of the Levites, 8,580. And take a look at that 49th verse. According to the commandment of the Lord, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden. Thus they were numbered of him as the Lord commanded Moses.
So we're talking about manual labor. Now, there's still people in the tribe of Levi. They're active as watchmen. They protected the sacred things of the tabernacle. They're responsible for instructing and superintending, and so they acted as watchmen. So this mandate seems to suggest that the young men are more fit for manual labor and the old more fit for trust. Okay? And actually, if you get in and read, especially when you're looking at the temple, the Temple of Solomon, where there's a lot of description given, he talks about the porters. What is a porter? The gatekeeper. You allow entry or you disallow entry. You have watchmen. that are looking out for the best interest of the temple. That's why things were not supposed to be brought into that temple complex or that tabernacle complex. And this is why Jesus overthrew the tables of the money changer, drove out the things because they were merchandising the house of God. They're having their fundraising activity in the house of God. Jesus said, "My house is called the house of prayer by all nations. You've made it a den of thieves." And that's what churches have done today. They use the church and they don't do things God's way. They use the world's method instead of God's method. And then churches more or less operate as a business. They do things to get around the laws to where it's not seen as a business. But if we'd do things God's way, we wouldn't have to be doing unscrupulous things. Okay? Just learn to do things God's way and then learn what your position is. If you're a watchman, be a watchman. If you're to bear the burden, bear the burden. If you're to supervise, supervise. If you're to instruct, instruct. Whatever God called you to do. But make sure God called you to do it, not you. And too many people are self-proclaimed whatever.
Yeah.
I won't camp down on that too long, okay?
Yeah. We've got a couple of test questions that just to keep in mind. According to Numbers 4:46-48, the Levites who did the service of the Lord in the tabernacle had to be at least how old? 30 years old and could not be older than 50. You're going to want to remember 30 and 50. And then the main idea here, which is so important, according to Numbers chapters 3 and 4, blank are scriptural job descriptions. We've been talking about job descriptions. Job descriptions are scriptural. They should be used in churches and ministry organizations.
Let me just say something. Let me go back and say insert this, okay? And I want you to just think, just use walking around sense, common sense. Who do you think is in the best position to supervise one who has been there and done that for 20 years or one who's never done it? But in the modern day corporations, they're getting rid of the experience and putting in people with no experience. The churches are doing the same thing. Graduate from Bible college and then just put you as an overseer and you have no experience to be an overseer. You have to learn to serve. You with me? And I've looked at the demise of America when the corporate world started giving early retirement to the people who were the backbone of the corporations. And then look at what's happened to the corporations. Most of them are overseas now. And what's that done to America? It's made us the most indebted country on the planet. Why? Because we got rid of the experience. And so when these guys retired at 50, they didn't retire from service. They retired from bearing the burden. Now they're in a position to do some overseeing. Okay?
I think about the importance of God placing people and naming people to do certain tasks, to fulfill certain jobs. And that is so foreign. It's foreign in businesses. It's foreign in churches to actually have God name somebody to fulfill a position. My first experience with this was actually at school. And Pat, this with Jane. In the summertime, when classes were being formed, we'd have all these little index cards teachers fill out with the kids' names and just trying to get the classes all situated. And she'd actually pray over that. Just, you know, walk up and down, just praying over these classes to make sure these kids were in the right place where they would be most successful and flourish. And I remember my first experience with that, I thought, wow. Man, I didn't know anything. Wow. That's the biblical principle here, you understand. You think about Jesus. He spent all night in prayer before he named the ones that would go out and represent him. To me, it is an awesome thing that the Lord said, Kohathites, you're carrying the holy things. Gershonites, you take care of the curtains. Merarites, you're going to handle the framework. Ithamar, this is what you're going to do. Eleazar, this is who you're going to oversee. Imagine how successful and how things would flourish if we would get our direction from the Lord about who's supposed to do what. If people were actually in a position to where they were operating and flourishing because the anointing that the Lord had placed on them to fulfill a certain calling. But we've had experiences where people in churches, oversight of churches, well, I think this person will do a good job. What does the Lord think? You know what? You hear what I'm saying? It's so important for us to operate where God wants us to be. And when we're doing that, He'll say it, but it's true. I can tell you from experience, well, you'll be the happiest you've ever been. You'll be the most fulfilled when you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, when He wants you to do it, and how He wants you to do it. And things will flow smoothly. You know, we can look at this and we can get bogged down by the senses here, and there's a lot of repetition here. Same verses being said over and over. He said the same thing for the Kohathites that He did for, you know, the Merarites and the... Or we can stop and take a look and say, our God is a God of order. He knows us. He knows exactly where we need to be. And He'll direct our steps and tell us who needs to be doing what, when, where, and how, if we'll listen to Him.
I know Rehoboam's a good example. When you think about the wisdom of the older men, and the proverb says, you know, the gray hair is supposed to be wisdom. I don't know if that always holds true today. But Jeroboam and the Israelites came to him when Rehoboam first came to the throne, and they asked him to reduce the taxes that his father in Solomon had imposed on them. And he said, come back in 3 days and I'll give you an answer. And so he sought the advisors of his dad.
Yeah.
Now, Solomon was the wisest man, you understand. But yeah. Solomon had advisors. And here are men who were exposed to profound wisdom. And so he went to them and he said, you know, what counsel do you give? And they said, well, if you'll serve the people will always serve you.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, okay?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't like that, so he went to the guys his age. What do you guys think? And they said, you go back and tell him Daddy wasn't anything. You I'll make it harder on you and Daddy. My little fingers stick on my daddy's lawn. Pride, ego.
Yeah.
What did it cost him? 10 kingdoms, 10 tribes left him. He was only left with two. Why? Because he forsook the counsel of the old men. I've run into a lot of things in my life. Some of them in secular work, some of them in ministry. And thinking about a particular situation in secular work, I was actually I was a service manager at the time, and I had a new car. I had a bad axle bearing, and it was a, without going into the detail anyway, it was a particular rear end, and you had to go, when I say rear end, differential. You had to go about a certain way to get the, you had to pull the axle to put the axle bearing in, and you had to take the inspection plate off and all that stuff. This guy right out of college was a service rep, and I had to get approval to do that because it's a new car. So the warranty would pay for it. And so he didn't want to approve it, and I told him, I said, well, you know, you have to take the inspection plate off to pull that. He said, no, you don't. No, I've done a few, you understand. And it took me a long time to convince him before he'd ever sign off to pay for that axle bear. And so I just challenged him, you pull it. Let me see you put that bearing in without taking that inspection plate off and pulling that axle out. Let me see you do it. Here you have a guy that's telling you and making approval for you that's never even done the job. And that's what's going on today in the world. That's what's going on in the church. You have people that have no experience. They have education, but they have no experience. So how are you going to tell someone else how to do something when you've never done it yourself? Pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, how can you teach people the Word of God when you don't know the Word of God? Why would you tell people to study the Bible when you don't study the Bible? You see the violations? And that's why the church is in such a mess today. We have people in leadership that don't have spiritual experience. No, we don't have mature people in the positions. So what do? Well, you get your nose into the Scripture and become mature in the Word of God. That's what you do. Each individual is responsible for his own spiritual maturity. You're not going to get spiritually mature in Bible college. I don't care how long you sit here, we're not going to spiritually mature you. We're going to try to get a a foundation laid in you to where you will be diligent enough to get revelation from God for yourself. Now, when you get revelation, that's an experience with God. Now you have a conviction that you can go with. Now you have a convincing knowledge rather than a learned knowledge from what somebody else said or did. God's looking for spiritually mature people. Amen.
Amen.
Was that in the study?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Actually, in my heart. Chapter 5.
Have you done 49?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I did.
Okay.
So, by the command of the Lord, and I want to emphasize that, by the command of the Lord, Moses had the Levites to number the families, and the particular duties were assigned to each of these families. by the commandment of the Lord. This was not Moses' idea. It was God's idea. And so we need to go to God and get the instruction and then implement that instruction by doing what God's told us to do. So job descriptions are an asset, not a liability. If it had been a liability, God wouldn't have given these specific descriptions to the tribe of Levi. Now, here's the thing. Job descriptions are given according to anointings. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to come back to that in the next session, okay? Because people don't understand anointings.
Mm-hmm.